sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
Welcome to the 54th edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded on the Monday evening immediately after Arsenal's 6-0 win over Blackpool, with the Gunners in second place behind Chelsea in the Premier League table. As usual, this podcast is sponsored by the website for all your best unofficial Arsenal t-shirts, Goonershirts.com.
Goonershirts.com, we got t-shirts galore, including t-shirts of William Gallas.
Even though he plays for Spurs.
He's a Tottenham bastard.
I'm your host, David Udoh. As our previous incumbent, Joe Broadfoot, is still not returned from distant lands and shows no sign of doing so anytime soon. Mark, is he turning Japanese?
Who, Joe Broadfoot?
Well, I think so, was what I was going for.
Oh, okay.
So get used to me. However,
I'll thank... I think he's turning Japanese.
There we go.
Was that song about masturbation, apparently, wasn't it?
Anyway, our thanks to Joe for still taking care of the technical side of getting our ramblings ready to go online. As for the panel, once more, we have our original classic lineup reunited, the online Gooners version of Deep Purple Mark II. So to kick us off, on guitar, it's not Richie Blackmore, but the man with the Brazilian girlfriend, it's Don Sebastiano.
No, don't bring your bloody private life into this.
I didn't write the script, I'm just reading it.
All right.
Good evening, Basti.
Hello.
Next up, he might not be Ian Pace, but he's run a marathon. The Theo Walcott Appreciation Society founder and sole Facebook group member, it's Mark Ollington.
Hello!
And finally, he once had as much hair as Ian Gillan, but now all they have in common is memories of better days and a beer belly. Controversial Gooner columnist, the Highbury Spy, a.k.a. the inimitable Steve Ashford.
My beer belly is bigger than his.
What does inimitable mean? You've got a flash word, now tell us what it means.
Uncomparable.
What?
Uncomparable.
What?
Who are ya?
Who are ya?
Okay, guys, so... As per last time, I'm going to pose the questions to different panel members as and when I see fit. Based on Saturday...
Jesus.
Based on Saturday, 6-0 against Blackpool. Theo Walcott, how good was he? Steve Ashford, can Theo Walcott step up this year?
Well, considering he wasn't playing against anyone, and Blackpool...
You can only play the opposition put in front of you, Steve.
Just turned up. He played all right. He played okay.
Scored his first Arsenal hat-trick.
Stop interrupting him. You're a quiz master, not a bloody... Shut up.
didn't have a keeper. You know, I'd like to see him do that against Chelsea or Man United or Tottenham, anyway, one of our big rivals. But you can only peep what's on the pitch. He did well, he did fine, but like Alan Hansen on Saturday night, I'm going to reserve my judgement until he can sort that final pass out more than once every six times he gets to the byline.
We've got Basti nodding in agreement, but a frustrated Mark Ollington.
Well done, Theo, for Saturday. That's all I can say.
Basti, you appear to be nodding in agreement. Your thoughts on Theo Walcott?
I think Theo's great, but that final ball, and that one that he skied, the shot that's always, where did it go? He's still got a few of those, that final touch isn't quite there, although very encouraging, and he did look a bit more of a man than a mouse than usual, and... His pace was blinding. When he turned that play and just went for it, I thought, ooh, shades of shoulder dropping in front of goal and going for it. You've got to give him a 9 out of 10 for that performance, really. Albeit there were still signs of the old skying it and very dodgy crosses. But there was one good cross he put in, and really, someone should have been in there.
Absolutely.
In fact, what was better about Saturday was when he was cutting inside, going down the middle and beating players down the middle, which, you know, he's never done before.
Very much so.
So it was good to see that on Saturday. Cause, to be honest, I don't see him as a striker. I see in the paper this morning Wenger saying, oh, he'll end up down the middle. I'm not so sure about that.
Let's put it this way. It's the best I've seen him play for Arsenal.
Mark Ollington, your thoughts? Theo Walcott.
I think this panel, the Gooner itself, Arsenal fans have been so mean to that young chap. He's 21. The youth is behind him. He's coming into his own. We saw it that half an hour against England, that first half.
Mark on
we
little
We saw
boys.
It against Blackpool. You be quiet, young lad.
He's got hairs he didn't have before. He's looking at girls in different ways.
He should be a Cub Scout leader.
He's, and I will say, his beard, he's now got a proper man's beard, rather than stubble. I will also say, he's got those tattoos on his arms. He's now looking like a proper man, Steve. And I think with maturity comes football maturity. And with football maturity comes that final ball we've all been looking for. Now, his game against Blackpool, was it perfect, David? No. There were some balls that went astray here, some that didn't quite reach their target. But does anybody ever have the perfect game? No. Thierry Henry often have a match where he might score three or four goals.
Have a perfect game once.
Dennis Bergkamp is a law unto himself, Basti. No one compares to Dennis Bergkamp. But I would say, on that performance on Saturday, yes, it was Blackpool. Yes, it was 10 men. But we saw a man who had been put down. We saw a man that has been abused by the editor of this fanzine. We've seen a man that is finally coming into his own. We have seen the emergence of Theo Walcott. I am convinced this is his season. I am convinced this is when we see him come to the fore. And this is when he rams his skill down the throats of Ashford and the editor, Kevin Witcher.
Well, I'll tell you what.
This is when he
comes. When he turns to Alan Hansen and says, yes, we can.
Let him rub it down my throat after Blackburn away on Saturday. Let's just see how good he is up there. Because most away games, he never sees the ball.
Steve, well, don't forget, it's a new dawn.
Steve was someone who thought David Seaman was shit. So
that's true.
We are looking, and he still does.
And still does. But that's another...
Guys, let's be honest. We've just won 6-0. I mean, the Blackpool performance, does that prove that Arsenal are the complete footballing team?
No.
When going forward?
Should have been 10.
It should have been 10.
Six out of ten I'd give them for that, because they only had played 10 men most of the game. And I'll give them 6 out of 10 on that performance.
They still tried to go through the eye of a needle, didn't they, through the middle? All through that second half.
We've been playing that way for 14 years, though, Steve.
All the time, you know, through the eye of a needle, again and again and again. They try and do that pretty pass. When it did come off in the last minute, Wilshere gets through, does a brilliant 1-2 with Fabregas, tries to chip the keeper, doesn't come off. If it had been 0-0 then, the one time we got through the eye of a needle, would have failed.
But this is a team with no Bentner. This is a team with no Fabregas, no Van Persie. You know, a team with no Sami Nasri, who's been our best player.
Yeah, who are Blackpool missing?
Brett Ormerod didn't start on Saturday, owing to a groin strain.
Well, and
you
also,
know.
Blackpool have been in the lower leagues, right? And they've come up there. There they are at this huge stadium, namely Arsenal Stadium, as I like to call it now, especially since he's got the clock back. But... and they were just in awe of it. It blew them away. They lost a player. It just all went. You know, they didn't. They never stood a chance. The moment they got in the ring.
But 3-0 is 6-0 and 3 points is 3 points. I mean, it doesn't matter if you beat Chelsea or whether you beat Blackpool. You can only play the opposition that's put in front of you. And surely this should be a sign of optimism. You know, we're two games in.
Well, to be fair, whenever Chelsea beat someone 6-0 with 10 men, when the opposition had 10 men, no one says, oh, but they only beat 10 men. Everyone goes, awesome, Chelsea. So let's give ourselves some credit, I suppose.
I mean, the evil flip side to the Blackpool game was the Liverpool performance from the week before. Mm. Total lack of penetration against a side likely to finish seventh if they're lucky. For all of our destroying relegation fodder like Blackpool, should we be worried about how we'll fare against the teams likely to finish at our end of the table, Basti?
I didn't hear a word of that. I was thinking about something else.
Oh, well, I'll answer that one then.
Thank you, Steve.
I thought we did well against Liverpool.
You thought we did well against Liverpool?
We had 65% of the possession. They started defensively against us at home in front of their new manager with their big crowd, first home game of the season. They played defensively from the first minute to the last, even more so when they had 10 men. And the least we deserved out of that game was a point. If we'd have lost it would have been a travesty.
What I did notice was that we played two games and we've had a player sent off for the opposition twice. Now, does this mean we're going to get a bit more protection from the refs? Could we get play against 10 men every week, is what I'm thinking. Because that way we could win the league.
Having said that, we were much better first half against Liverpool than we were when Joe Cole got sent off. We actually went down here in the second half.
Yeah, we can't play against 10 men, that's true. So we'll probably add them another player and we'll probably do all right.
Who thinks Joe Cole should have gone? Do you think some Joe Cole should
I think
gone?
It was absolutely filth.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant to do it, but I don't really care. It was a filthy challenge, whether it was intentional or not.
He just got a rush of blood to the head, didn't he? And he just sort of went for it. It was one of those that I don't think he meant to be nasty with him, but it was a red card.
Well, if Cosignoli had done that on Cole, it would have been, dirty, foreign, French.
Same old Arsenal. Always chasing.
Cosignoli didn't know anything about that handball before he was sent off. What was the point? Why was, to be honest with you, why didn't we take that, appeal it?
It's two yellow cards. You can't appeal two yellow cards.
You can't appeal it.
Can't appeal two yellow cards. I think it's cowardly referee. This is the referee who disallowed Tottenham's blatant goal on set. I mean, I have no love for Tottenham, same as any Arsenal fan.
What, none at all?
Oh, no, not really. Oh, no, it wasn't Tottenham. It was Stoke had a goal just allowed in the last minute, wasn't it? Where the ball's clearly a foot over the line. The referee's going, I didn't see it.
It was 3 yards away.
Yeah, standing on the goal line, so no need for goal line technology. But, I mean, for the Koscielny incident, I can't help but think he's gone right. Liverpool have got one goal, Arsenal have got one goal, so that's fair. Liverpool have had a man sent off. If I send off Arsenal's as well, it is fair.
You might as well have a four-year-old referee.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly
it's
that.
It's Mickey Mouse fucking justice, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly that. I mean, Mark, as good as we were against Blackpool, I mean, Liverpool aren't a great side. You know, they're a team built around Jamie Carragher, arguably the slowest centre-half in the Premier League, and for me, one of the most overrated players of the last 15 years. Are you worried that it's yeah, I'd love to. You just go out there armed with a copy of the Sun, they won't come anywhere fucking near you. Are you slightly worried if we're going to struggle against a team that are playing on Thursday nights in the UEFA Cup that we're going...
No, not at all. I think Liverpool will come 5th, 6th, 7th, and if we can get 1-0 draws against a team that's going to come 5th, 6th or 7th, we will win the league. Draws away from home against the top 10 clubs and you get your home wins, you win the league. Simple as that. If we were to get a draw against all the teams that come in the top 10 and wins against the teams in the bottom 10 and win our home games, then we win the league. So that's fine.
Yeah. And to be honest, Liverpool didn't have any mugs at the back there. They had every single player at the back was an experienced international and they had Gerardo Mascherano in front of them.
Yeah.
Plus Kite dropping back and the other fella dropping back on the left.
Yeah.
So essentially they had two banks of four and then someone else in front of them for the entire 90 minutes.
Yeah, and even though he might be fit, to bring on Torres, you know, towards the end isn't a bad sub to come on, is it, either?
No.
Oh, so, well, we did the flip reverse on Saturday, bringing on Van Persie and Fabregas after an hour.
What happened to Torres's hair? It's gone all weird. He's gone dark haired. I've never seen a blonde bloke go dark before.
There are some strange things going on with hair. Has anyone else noticed that Thomas Rosicki's become KD Lang?
Yes, I've noticed
that's
that.
Really quite freaky.
Well, it's done pretty well for his football, because I'll tell you what, he was looking pretty good.
In fact,
he's been great.
Not physically, right, in that sense.
What's not to love about a butch Canadian lesbian?
And isn't that quite apt? You asked that, Steve, at Barnet. When inquiring about his new
Barnet. Who's that rather attractive number seven or whatever he was?
I was thinking he looks a bit more like... He's got that sort of 70s look, you know. But I was quite far away, so...
He's been brilliant this season, I have to say.
I mean, yeah, he's been great. He's been great. I mean, unfortunately, the evil twin of the newly resurgent, fully fit and brilliant Thomas Rosicki is the continually underperforming Andrei Arshavin. Despite his scoring a penalty and creating a goal on Saturday, what's this guy's problem, Basti?
It doesn't look like his heart's in it half the time. He's walking around, he's got a bit of an attitude, he's got that I'm going to walk around kind of thing. He's not chasing things, he's not going for it 100%. I don't know, it sounds like he doesn't have a lot of mental strength.
Eats too many pies.
Too many pies?
Too many pies.
Nightclubs, women, chez la femme, same old thing. All night long, having it large.
Played better in the second half, though, on Saturday. Played a lot better in the second half.
Mark,
according to his website, he makes his Mr. Family Man, so perhaps he's not at the nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah, have you seen his family?
Isn't his wife quite nice?
Yeah, they go out clubbing, larging.
But this is a man
upper,
who says,
iron upper.
Was it when he was injured, and he goes, oh, Andre, you get injured very much? He goes, I heal like dog. And that's exactly what he said. I heal like dog. I come back strong. And to be fair, that's not true, is it? I think he's carrying niggles, carrying injuries. The man doesn't look right, whether mentally or physically. Something's not quite
if
there.
If he's a family man, what it is she's got him by the short and curlies and he's not freed up. He's mentally, he's arguing with her all day. It's worth going out nightclub is probably better for you than being locked inside with, you know, a hatchet job of a missus who's going to give you a really hard time.
Are
all
you expressing stuff here?
He's a broken man. He can't handle it anymore. Poor guy. Feel for him.
So what's the answer? I mean, he's obviously not playing in his preferred position. I mean, for Russia, he plays just off Pavlyuchenko as one of two front men. Obviously, in this perverse 4-2-3-1 that Wenger likes playing, we don't have that role in the side.
From Russia, with love, I fly to you.
How do we get the best out of Andrei Arshavin, Steve Ashford?
Oh, to be honest, how do we get the best? Good question. We've tried everything. We've played him on the left, we've played him on the right, we've played him up front. We've never really played him behind a striker or deep in the middle of the park. So try a different position.
If in doubt, try a different position.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Smoking the pancake. But
just playing for Holland. This is a good idea.
Oh, for sure.
Just playing for Holland. Then this is a different position.
He's sexy football.
But we all know Wenger plays players square pegged round holes and all that. So there could be something on that.
Put him in defence.
I mean, on the
left back.
He can defend corners. He's tall enough, isn't he?
We know he's not a striker. So he ain't going to play there.
I mean, apropos to that, I mean, this 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3,
however way you want to look at it. I mean, how do you think it's working?
Apropos
of this.
What does that mean?
In light of what we have been discussing.
Okay.
Don't half come out with some fucking weird... You didn't go to comprehensive school, did you?
I did, actually.
Oh, did you? Oh, right.
I'll tell
you're
you
one of those annoying people who went to comprehensive school and still speaks English.
That's right, yeah.
Where's Joe Bulford again?
Well, he's turning Japanese. I think he's turning Japanese.
I really think so.
Are you calling him a wanker?
No!
Joe, if you're listening, mate, they'd be editing this. That is shocking. Me, Steve and Basti think you're doing a brilliant job. You're better than flipping David Udo here, mate. Take a notice whatsoever.
It says a lot about a podcast listenership where we could address them individually by name, doesn't it?
Of course, he is in Japan and he will be listening, won't he?
Yes.
Because he can do that now with modern technology.
Oh, he's on the interweb, is he?
The interweb.
All right, okay. You're my single friend and your Yahoos and that.
Can we get on with the Arsenal thing, please?
Okay, so this 4-3-3, when everybody's fit, we've got Bentner, we've got Van Persie, we've got Shamak, we've got Rositsky, we've got Nasri, we've got Wilshere, we've got Fabregas, we have got Carlos Vela. When everybody's fit, what is Arsenal's first choice front three? Steve Ashford.
Yes, me, that's a hard one.
That's a good question, that one, isn't it?
Very good question.
We're playing Chelsea on the 4th of October.
Oh,
no!
Away from home, what is our front three?
Very good question, David Udo.
Well, if we're playing Chelsea away, yeah?
No, because you'll stick a buoy in. Right, we're playing Man United at home.
Man United at home, right.
Okay. Man United at home. Okay. Ooh, who's your front three?
Rositsky, Chamak, and Van Persie.
Crikey. Mark Ollington.
Kevin Campbell, Anna Smith and Paul Mercer. Yeah. No, I go for
Ian Allinson.
Ian Wright.
Van Persie, Walcott and Chamak Attack.
Basti.
I'm not convinced about Chamak Attack yet, to be honest with you. It does apparently hold players off. Well, it's better than Bentner with one leg, I suppose. Van Persie. And maybe we stick shit. Well, have we got anyone else Dutch? No. Okay.
Nasher Barazite.
Well, when's Nasri not back? Is he? Nasri's not back.
The question is, when everybody's fit, who is Arsenal's? Who do you play as Arsenal's front three?
Who's your favourite front three, Basti?
Oh, I don't really have one, to be honest with you. I'm not even that convinced about Van Persie at the moment.
I'll be honest with you.
I think Van Persie does a lot of that walking around as well.
Who's spoiling the game here?
It's
not a circle jerk. I'm asking. No, you don't all have to agree.
It's not fucking rocket science.
Pick the three best.
Up front. We don't have anyone up front.
Oh my God's sake!
We do not have anyone up front.
Nielsen,
I don't want any of them, to be honest
with
you.
We've got to pick three. It's the question.
All right.
Every week you. Dump some questions.
We'll have to be Van Persie.
Right.
Who else have we got? Who's available?
Rositsky, Nasri, Bentner, Walcott, Aboué, Nasri.
Aboué up front.
Vela.
Is that what our attack is?
We played him away at Liverpool.
He's not an attack. Okay, Walcott, but not against Chelsea because they'll just kick him out of the way.
Against Man United at home.
Man United at home, all right. Well, I suppose Chamak, Walcott and Van Persie.
Same as mine.
But I'd rather have Rositsky, for sure. Does it have to be three? Can't we play 4-4-2?
No, because Wenger plays 4-3-3.
Okay, then I'd have Rositsky, Walcott and Van Persie, Chamak on the bench.
Okay.
Cool, so we've all gone for something different.
Took long enough, didn't it? Bloody hell, Basti.
I know, I sort it out. Look, do you think Wenger just sort of goes, oh, well, I have those three, straight away? He lies in bed at night thinking about combinations. You don't just pick a team that quickly. You've got to sort it out.
In fairness, he gets 120 grand for that.
You were there on Saturday. You've had a week.
So, we're two games in an Emirates Cup and a friendly away at Legia Warsaw into the season. We've seen a fair bit of our two new signings, Laurent Koscielny and Marouane Chamakh. What are our initial impressions? Basti, you've got a face like a slapped arse, and you suggested don't think all that much of Marouane Chamakh so far.
No, I think, very briefly, I'll say Koscielny looks good. I liked him, and I think he looked good to start with. Chamakh, he looked a bit like Bambi, really. He wasn't staying on his feet, looked a bit... But, that, you know, early days, I remember even Dennis and Henri, when they started, weren't all that. So, you've got to give him a bit of support and hope that he comes through. He was all over the pitch, but when he got the ball, he generally lost it.
He was brilliant.
No. He was not brilliant.
You think he was brilliant in those two games?
He was right wing, left wing, deep centre forward, attacking centre forward.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad player.
Running the back four, running the offside track.
He doesn't look comfortable on the ball.
Won the penalty.
He doesn't. Is your name Bastion? Is your name Bastion?
Sorry.
Sharp. Anyway, so, that was a bit of a come on it. No, but I just thought, I think he needs a bit of, the jury's out on my, at this stage. It's too early to tell. If in, say, four or five games, he isn't sort of pulling his weight a bit more and must, he looks a bit like he's too easy to get off the ball. There's one Blackpool player just took the ball off him last week. It was just like candy off a baby. That will have to change.
But you quite like the look of Koscielny, our new number six.
Yeah, he looked pretty solid. I thought.
Steve, you couldn't help talking all over Basti. What do you want?
I've said my bit now.
Strike. I know his feelings.
I think Chmek's great. I love him. I think he's brilliant. Great acquisition for the club. If I was Barry Bentner, I'd be a bit worried.
Yeah, absolutely. Of his hair. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, Barry can sod off.
I wish I had hair like that.
It's quite loose, I tell you, me and Mark are the Barry Bender fan club.
Barry Bender. Barry the Bender.
I love him. I love
Barry. I've got my trousers round my ankles outside a nightclub, fucking with me.
I love you. Know. Said that Arshavin was a better player if he went to a few nightclubs rather than he stuck home with his missus.
No, no, but that. Arshavin, at least you know he's going to come back and he's a quality player. Bentner's just not. He's got a big ego.
As an aside, you notice none of you picked Arshavin in your starting front three.
See, question before.
I was just throwing it out there. Where were we?
About those Schumacher tax hair.
Yes.
Very greasy. Though quite an interesting cut, which is always nice to see.
Wanky
I like
cut.
Different haircuts on the pitch.
I think they should all look like the Beatles. All of them.
I will say about that other chap, was it Koscielny?
Yeah, long on Koscielny.
He looked very good. But he still looked, didn't he, quite slight.
Yeah, very
so
much so.
So you go about Walcott looking like a man nowadays, Koscielny looks like a boy. So even though he's 25 or whatever he might potentially
24.
Be, very skinny, not much meat to him.
Wouldn't
it be so difficult?
Drogba's
there though. Will Drogba eat him alive with his skinny frame?
Yeah, he will.
That's
the
question.
Yeah, Drogba will eat him alive.
Pace was good at Anfield. He read the game well and he cut out the diagonal balls.
Yep.
Three things which we normally suffer from away from home.
I agree, Steve. There's
how
no
long
until
Chelsea?
But is he
October the 3rd.
Well, he better get down the gym then. That's all I'd say. Because he's got to get down the gym and drink some weight gain because otherwise... Just
if I was Wenger, I would play an oak tree at centre-half against Drogba.
We don't have an oak tree, unfortunately.
Don't we normally tie a yellow ribbon around it to celebrate us going to Wembley?
Why didn't we buy any Germans?
Well, Per Mertesacker was my first choice. However, Per Mertesacker was valued at £12 million. Someone who is not valued at £12 million and as of today has passed a medical at Arsenal and will be joining us tomorrow, being Tuesday, for a fee in the region of £5.8 million, is Sebastian Scalacci, the French international centre-half.
Scalacci.
He's French and rubbish, Scalacci.
No, he's French and Polish.
Koscielny.
Oh no, I've mixed them up.
All at the same, those centre halves. Sebastian Scalacci is the next, maybe the last, maybe not the last addition to our squad this summer. Mark Ollington, is Sebastian Scalacci the answer to Arsenal's defensive problems?
Yes.
And do we still need one more defender on top of him?
He is, do you know what? He's been my favourite player for years.
Sebastian Scalacci.
Seriously, I saw him play for Monaco a few seasons back. I think it was 2002, just after he got back from Ajaccio on a loan. And he was brilliant. He came back into the team. He was one of the best players I've ever seen. He was defensive bedrock in their kind of bid for Champions League glory. They're sadly beaten by Porto in the Champions League final. But I've loved him since those glorious days. And I always thought, as a player, I won at Arsenal. He's now got 20 caps for France, you know, which is not bad since 2009. So he's come on leaps and bounds. He's played for France quite late in his career, his late 20s. But he's the kind of player that we want. Brilliant. He's my favourite player.
Where'd you get all this in? You really have been following him, haven't you?
God,
I love him.
Every breath you take.
I've loved him for years. I've loved
every
him for years.
Step you in all seriousness, though, Steve, would you have preferred Arsenal to sign a to send it into farce here at Gooner Towers? All I did was ask Kev the editor to supply us with a copy of Scalacci's Wikipedia profile, and I feel that I have been unfairly lampooned.
I've learnt it off by heart. What more do you want?
You bastard. You utter bastard. No, Basti.
Well, would you... apparently, he was born on the 11th of August. Sebastian Scalacci.
Oh, from Toulon. The guy from Toulon.
Yeah. He was born on the 11th of August. And did you know he's 1 metre and 85 centimetres tall? He's 6'1". And he's a Leo, because if he's born on the 11th of August, and Leos are the best, apparently. I'm a Pisces. Oh. They roar at people like who's that? Wayne Drogba, yeah. And his number, as apparently at Seville, he played the number 4 shirt.
Interesting.
Very interesting, but he's
apparently, that's not available this season.
But what a lot of people don't know is that he had 117 appearances for Monaco.
Was that
and scored 11 goals, which for a centre back isn't bad.
And he was in the team that beat Chelsea in the semi final.
That was in that Champions League.
But he only scored one goal in 49 appearances for Sevilla.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting between 2008 and 2010. So
perhaps his goal scoring touch has gone a little bit.
So that just shows how much you know about him.
So one centre back in, one centre back out, and the news came through at the end of last week and confirmed this morning. Our former captain, William Gallas, has signed for that mob up the road, Steve Ashford.
Well, I don't think he realises. I don't think he realises what a reception he's going to get. I think if he thinks he's going to turn up there and they're all going to go, oh, he's a good player. We like him. He's very much mistaken. As Harry says, we haven't signed a Yorkshire Ripper, you know. Well, I think you're going to find me out.
Cool, blimey, bleeding buggery.
We ain't signed it. You're
going to have one song for him, and it's going to begin with fuck. Second word off. Third Gallus.
Love
and
to see
that.
When's he starting? When's he start work then?
Do you think?
Yeah, 3 weeks of training.
They will take to.
They hate anything to do with Arsenal. Anything that's tainted with the red and white shirt.
No, but look at it this way.
They didn't even like having red on their Thompson logo 2 years ago. So how they ain't going to like having an ex-Arsenal captain.
But have you seen their new kit? It's pretty fucking dire, isn't
it? Horrible. It looks
but like another thing, but that aside, the nice thing is that 9 out of 10 times Tottenham players come to Arsenal. We've
absolutely
got Pat Jennings, all that stuff.
We're
right?
decent,
Sol Campbell.
We get their
like heroes and best players. And then the one time they get one of ours, it's fucking Gallas. And they can fucking have him because he's going to ruin... He is the cancer within in that dressing room. He's going to ruin it and turn it inside. They're all going to just... But they're going to... Tottenham will die with Gallas there because their morale is already... Actually, their morale isn't that bad.
Their morale's good at Spurs.
It is a bit worryingly... Yeah, until they sign Gallas.
Absolutely.
He's our secret weapon.
I think he's a reasonable player. Yeah, he's a reasonable player, but I just... don't think he realises what he's letting himself in for.
Mark, are you particularly upset that our ex-captain has joined Tottenham, or do you wish him all the very best in his future endeavours?
I was more upset when Rohan Ricketts joined Tottenham. I was more upset then. I rated Gallas as a player. I think I've said on this podcast on quite a few occasions, as a centre-back, him and Thomas Mayer last season, one of the best pairings in the league, if not the best pairing.
Come on.
But I agree with these chaps here when I say that he's not a nice man. He is the evil in the dressing room. He's gone. He'll go to Spurs. He'll ruin their team spirit. Harry will be there crying amongst his little twitchiness. Brilliant. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the problem Harry will have.
And it's a little nail in Harry's coffin as well.
Well, the thing is, Harry's the boss, right? But William won't see it that way. William's the boss where he goes.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where it all goes wrong. He won't respect... You know, I can see Harry and William getting on. Give it a little bit of time.
Is there a Frenchman at Tottenham?
That's a great question, actually. I don't think there are.
Did you have any friends at Arsenal, Gallas?
Mikel Silvestri was his only friend at Arsenal.
And he's fucking gone as well.
Yes!
That was one of the best pieces of transfer business I think the club did this summer. Yeah. The only bit probably outstanding is a new goalkeeper. Mark Schwarzer has suffered another diplomatic injury at Fulham and looks set to join Arsenal before the end of the transfer window. Mark, what do you think will happen if and when Mark Schwarzer, or in the event that we don't sign him, Martin Stecklenburg from Ajax joins us? Which of our current goalkeepers will stay and who's going to go out on loan? Will anyone be sold?
Mooney will be sold. I'm not sure to who. Who's going to take him? I've got no bloody idea. But he's definitely got to go. And I think he's come out and said that if we bring in a new keeper, he won't want to hang around for much longer. Good. Fuck off, club captain, my arse. So here we go. Woo! I certainly think Flapianski will probably...
Somebody doesn't like him.
No, no. And I can't believe I pay £1,000 a year to watch him be the captain of the club I support. Makes me sick.
You should sell the Gooner. You should sell the Gooner outside the ground before the game, and you wouldn't have to pay that much for your ticket.
I don't want to do that.
Well, you bloody well stop whinging.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, then don't. Well, no. Then if £1,000 is that easy just to throw away on watching a football club, stop whinging about it.
My point is, Basti, I'm happy to pay it, kind of, not to have that twerp in the goal. And as captain.
I'd say the word twerp is underused in the 21st century.
Yeah, bring back
because
twerp.
Because if you're looking at, you can't even swear at him, because swearing's too good for him. So a twerp's the ideal word.
He's a nice fella, though, isn't he?
How do you know? You're friends with him?
He's just too nice. That's
the problem. He's too nice. He flaps.
Oh, Steve, what do you think is going to happen? Schwarzer comes in, we'll want the number one jersey.
I wouldn't particularly have Schwarzer. I know we won't get Gibb.
Yeah, this isn't. It's going to happen. Yeah. Mark Schwarzer's going to be our new goalkeeper.
I prefer Schwarzer to anything we've got, to be honest.
So what happens to Almunia, Fabianski, Manone, and Chesney?
Chesney will be in my number two. I'd play him in the Carling Cup games, maybe the FA Cup as well. He had a great season on loan at Brentford last year. Manone would probably go on loan somewhere. Almunia would be sold. And I don't give a fuck what happens to Fabianski.
Yeah, he can just die.
Bastard.
Bob Wilson and Jimmy Rimmer.
Jimmy Rimmer.
That's all I got to say. Where's Jimmy Rimmer when we need him?
You wouldn't be able to get away with the name Jimmy Rimmer in the 21st century football, would you?
Why?
There's all kinds of sexual connotations, aren't there?
Oh, you're just sick in the head. What does he mean about his sex? All day.
What does women mean?
You're real.
Eh? What does women mean?
Well, that's your lot for this time. Just time for the usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is goonapodcast@gmail.com.
That's gstring.com if you're sexually fucking frustrated.
Or Gmail or Gaymail if you're like David and you're a gay.
It's been Tumbleweed City in the inbox lately, so feel free to drop us a line and the chances are your offering will be read out in
and
a month's
time.
And
we weren't referring to Basti's bird there.
What was that? What context may I
Tumbleweed
say?
Tumbleweed City.
Well, thank God she doesn't listen to this God podcast.
So thanks again to our sponsors.
Goonashirts.com.
And the Hampstead Village Voice.
Available from all good news agents in the NW3 area, I believe.
No, not NW3 area, just Hampstead Village and South End Green. Anything south of Belsize Park is a foreign country. Highgate, you're a bunch of cunts. Fuck off.
There's just time for our panel to bid farewell. The Don.
Curtain.
Mark Ollington.
Bye.
And Steve Ashford.
Goodbye, viewers.
They're listeners.
Viewers. No, they are watching telly when this is on. They're not actually listening to it.
I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you again for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company, hooray!
When we find ourselves in times of trouble, our new defender's there to see. He is French and Polish, gosh help me. And in our hour of darkness, there is Bakary Sanya number 3, clearing any danger, Koscielny, 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 yeah, Koscielny, clearing any danger, Koscielny, 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 yeah, Koscielny.
One time.
Clearing any danger, Koscielny.
Down, 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 down.
Skillarchy. All our troubles solved in just one day. William Gallus has now gone away. Oh, I believe in Skillarchy. Suddenly,
dum dum. Sylvester's gone off to Abu Dhabi.
Dum dum. Oh, I believe in Skillarchy.